You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we live in the only normal. I'm your host, Justin M. Wisniewski, and if you are sick of the dystopian term new normal, then you have found yourself in the right place. Why then don't you tell a friend to come here as well, and you can exist in actual normal, none of this new normal crap which normalizes all the crap. Joining me this trip into normal from our nation's capital, Daniel T. Richards.
Hello. People are certainly getting back to whatever it is normal is in the D.C. area this week as they are flooding Old Town Alexandria with peoples all along the waterfront and all along the cobblestone and brick streets, and the politicians couldn't be angrier. So, huzzah, D.C. You, the overlords of the country, have angered your own overlords.
Also joining us, from Dale's Lawn, identifying as a woman to forego his white male gay privilege, William Green.
Hello, hello. Yeah, here in, even in California, we have a yoga class that said, fuck the governor and the county. We're opening yoga class, following some safety guidelines. They actually held their yoga class today, or yesterday, I guess. By the time you listen to this, and Reddit is not pleased. So yeah, the Karens are coming out to call for the heads on spikes of these folks that are rebelling.
Isn't that confusing? Because aren't the Karens the ones who do yoga?
It is. So you'd think they were angering their own audience, but I would guess not. And then I know I sent this to you, Justin, the Manager Tools guys, manager-tools.com, not a commercial. They're doing their, this week, they're going to do their Manager Tools class in person. I was waiting for the gasps from the crowd. In person, I think in Atlanta or somewhere. So they said that only three people are able to make it, but they're doing it anyway. And they're trying to get back to normal. Not the new normal, the real normal. So good on that.
The sound effects guy is waiting for the gasps.
Well, I wanted live gasps, but I can't.
r/ pleased has to be the loneliest section of Reddit.
Is that a real subreddit?
I have no idea.
If not, we'll make it.
We should make it as a counterculture on Reddit to see what happens. That's gotta
just
be
just a bunch
subreddit.
Of stories. Like, yeah, that went about the way. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh my god. r/ please will probably be called a incel Reddit if you put it up as a way to get it banned.
It'll be labeled as hate speech.
Yeah. Aren't things pretty out of control though if the yoga people are getting aggressive and rebelling?
Yeah. Well, I think people are starting to, I mean, we're seeing people start to get real information. Despite, I don't know, YouTube's efforts on Sunday, Tim Pool was reporting about how the infection rate is highest among people who stayed isolated. And the media is saying, oh, that's just, you know, New Yorkers lying when they're self-reporting this stat. And they're finding out, actually, no, it's not exactly sure why, but people who stayed isolated tend to have a higher infection rate than those who, you know, had to go out for work or things like that, which kind of makes sense. But then the video immediately gets shadow banned, which means it doesn't show up on his YouTube channel. No one got notifications for it and everything else. So and you know, Tim Pool is very careful about using trusted news sources, so you can't exactly say, well, you know, he's spreading fake news or something. He was covering who is covering the coverage by mainstream news sources, but that does not please our YouTube overlords. Oh. He was also covering the Michigan and Wisconsin constitutionality stuff, and that got shadow banned as well. So you got to start to think, wait, is this algorithm accidentally supporting fascism? The thing they claim so much to be fighting against?
Emphatically do evil is Google's new slogan. So, I mean, Cuomo is the one who came out and said that 66% of New Yorkers who got infected were at home. And he said he didn't know what to make of that. You know, he's not even trying to spin it as bad as his reaction has been to the whole thing. But that's what we like to call a fact.
I'll tell you what to make of it. Are you ready? I wasn't intending to, like, go into this and do this as a story, but fuck it. Let's start this. This podcast has been weird for about 2 months now anyway, so whatever. No more structure. Are you ready for why it's that way?
Yeah.
Because something that is true of the leftist character, and I'm speaking generally here, and the individuals can always contradict this, right? But generally, this is an example of the double lives they lead, where publicly they virtue signal and they go, this is the way to do it, blah, 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 and I'm staying home and everyone needs to stay home and blah, blah, because who was the one leading the charge on that? It wasn't the right. It was the left. Right now, the right may have said at first, oh, you know, we're going to stay home. That's the right thing to do. But they didn't feel the need to tell other people about it and have other people think they were good about it. That was what the left did. But then what do they really do? Do they do that? No. This is a case of the rules don't apply to me. This is the narcissism I talk about in California and in New York. So while they're getting mad at us here in Florida going to the beaches, what are they doing? They're going out on the subway. Did New York ever shut the subway down?
I don't know. You know, I would have heard about it, I think.
Right. They can't because of the essential workers, because there would have been an outcry. Oh, the essential workers. But how many of those 66% people who were staying at home, quote unquote, went on the subway to do something?
Yeah, I mean, well, how about just staying at home reduces your already bad vitamin D supplies, which we know has an effect with the coronavirus, and also shared circulation systems in high-rise buildings. That is how some friends of mine got the coronavirus in DC, by the way, through a shared ventilation system. You know, the idea that people are coming to your house and you're staying there and you have stale air and it's just sort of sitting there and you're not going outside and moving around and making yourself healthy. You're atrophying in an apartment.
Right. And doing all this, what did it accomplish? Then when we actually do go outside, now we have to wear masks.
Hooray.
Good job, everyone. Good job, America. We flattened the curve, and now we have to wear masks for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
I know the story
didn't make the cut, but we talked. I think I posted about the whole reason we're doing this lockdown, which is a new thing, was somebody's science fair experiment. And it's just...
No, that's in the story. Yeah. That's in the fourth story. We'll go into that.
We'll get into that. So just the fact that we're living a science fair experiment. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. What a world. All right, let's go into it. Hit the music for the news.
Oh, man. Well, I assure you, Mr. Listener, it really is that bad. These aren't
harmless criminals. This isn't just a fad. Before we hit the farce that is the news this week, why don't you go over to patreon.com/themidside and sign up to be a patron of the show. It helps us keep the lights on. Justin, I'm sorry, but you're going to die of coronavirus because of your cats. A new study shows that cats can easily spread coronavirus to each other. And, of course, that is no good for cat owners. A team of researchers studied the transmission of the coronavirus between cats and found that felines are capable of infecting each other. There have not been any known cases of a cat spreading COVID to a person, but be afraid because it might happen. It's a silent intermediate host for the virus, the feline in your home. So the researcher said, this is of particular importance given the potential for SARS-CoV-2 transmission between family members and households with cats while living under shelter-in-place orders. The research, another reason to go outside, by the way. So this is all interesting. This came into the news after a tiger at the Bronx Zoo came down with coronavirus.
Maybe he should have stayed off the subway.
Developed a dry cough. They had it tested. You know, most people in the country can't get tested, but this tiger. Previous studies have shown that cats and ferrets are also susceptible to the virus, but dogs less so. So, Justin, have you masked your cats?
Man, that's what the joke I was going to make. I was like, I hope they start selling little, like, boutique cat masks that I can put on the cats.
I think the masks are creative expression, too. I bet we could get some, like, Zack Snyder or DC Comics themed masks, maybe like cat from masks. The Funko Pop people, you know.
Oh, they already somebody on Etsy already put up Rorschach masks like I was asking for, so I bought one of those. Nice. So I'm just waiting for that to come, but it's also gonna take like 3 to 4 weeks to make and send. How does it take that fucking long to make a mask and send it?
Oh, don't worry, California will still be on lockdown.
I only got it so when Disney reopens, I can just have that mask and wear the Rorschach mask so people can come up to me and be like, are you a white supremacist? Can't
oh,
wait.
Dude. dude, I can't wait for the rest of the country to open up and California still be closed because, like, people just be flying out of LAX and, like, visiting everyone. Because, like, if we're all remote working, like, why do I need to remote work here in Lawndale, you know?
Well,
I can remote work from your house, Justin, and go to Disney.
Right. Come visit. You guys exactly. are all welcome to come here and visit and then
we'll
realize it's
party.
Better here and stay. We can have a Corona party and you can all drink Corona and I'll drink water.
All right. Your cats might give me the virus, but...
Well, okay, and that's the thing about this story, right? That's the thing that's absurd to me about this story, and this is a case of stupider liar, Daniel, and that's what I want to ask you, and that's what I want to ask you, William, is this article a case of stupid or liar? Or there's a quote in this article. I don't remember who says it, but it's the idea that when we say isolation, we mean isolation. So when you're on lockdown, not only do you have to, you know, be on lockdown in your own house, but you have to isolate yourself away from your family and your cats. So not only are you supposed to stay at home, you're supposed to each stay in your own individualized room and keep the cats away from you. Are they trying to psychologically torture us?
Forget you. What about the cats? Your cat would be furious.
My cat's already furious, but that's a different story. I don't know what
well,
the fuck's
fair.
Wrong with my cat. Right. But
you have cats that are more
exactly
like
exactly right.
Dogs.
I mean, that's going to cause problem with the cats. And then it seems like anything you do at home that gets enjoyment, they're trying to take that away from you, too. It's very hard for me not to put on my tinfoil hat, Daniel, and say they're just trying to make our lives miserable.
Yeah, it's a weird form of, like, a religious sacrifice here, where
it's
like... It's
very Catholic.
If you gain any enjoyment from this thing, it's contra to COVID, and we must all worship the COVID, and so stop getting any enjoyment out of things and focus on the COVID. Be afraid, stay away from people, and let the state take care of you, praise be to COVID. But I was going to say, other than your cats, Justin, which are basically dogs with longer tails and that meow, cats are the ultimate social distancers anyway, aren't they? The cats I've owned in my life, like, lived on top of our refrigerator.
Did we lose you, Daniel?
No, he said lived on top of my refrigerator, and then you went silent, Justin. You didn't respond.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't hear nothing. I didn't hear the rest of your point. That's why I just heard all the cats in my life, and it dropped. So
lived on top of his refrigerator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, refrigerators are a little bit of a weird place to live. But one of my cats is like that, where she's either sleeping on the deck or she's sleeping in the closet, and she mainly leaves me alone. The other one's definitely like a dog, where it's like, oh, you're in the bedroom? I'm going to sleep on the bed. Oh, you're on the ground? I'm going to lay next to you on the ground. And that's been my experience, is cats are either one of the two. So,
yeah,
I think my
dog's social distance setting is out of whack, because he's definitely within 1 meter at almost all times.
meter.
Well, right, and that's the thing. There seems to be an anti-cat bias here, doesn't there?
Oh, man, anti-cat bias? That's speciesism. We should get on that.
Yeah, this is speciesism.
Species privilege.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. It's like, oh, man, the cats could have it. Be careful of the cats. Like, isn't that... This is what we talked about last episode, where isn't that true of anything? Anything?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. We don't know. It's ridiculous. Also, you know, so my tiger subway joke.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, when you were giving your intro on it, you were just like, a tiger at the Bronx Zoo came down with COVID, and I said, he shouldn't have rode the subway, and you just didn't say anything.
Yeah, okay, so everyone hanging a lantern on it, my internet is an atrocity. It's a total, absolute, abject atrocity. And I don't know what the hell to do anymore other than call Verizon and yell repeatedly. We're just doing an audio podcast, and I can't even stream an audio session because I can't hear any of you at the moment. I'm just basically interjecting myself where I think there's going to be silence, which is an awesome strategy.
That's how good we've gotten over the 8 years.
That's why this show is going to be hella weird.
I think it's because, Daniel, you're living in a predominantly black neighborhood, and now you know what white privilege is. White privilege is high-speed internet.
Apparently. I didn't hear your joke, so I just laughed anyway. Just pointing that out there. I told my wife to get off Wi-Fi. She wasn't on it. I've put my phone on airplane mode. But we shall prevail. Shall we move on to the other craziness this week?
Yes.
So BuzzFeed News, our favorite, reports that there may have been a landlord out there willing to forgive a month's rent if, when Gail Savage's landlord messaged her asking her if she would stay all night with him, she assumed he'd texted the wrong number. I was like, he probably meant to send that to his girlfriend, Savage told BuzzFeed News. A single mom to two-year-old Salem, Savage lost her job working as a bartender at a popular Indianapolis cocktail bar and her gigs working as a burlesque performer when the state shut down on March 16. She'd let her landlord know that they'd been texting about how she was waiting for the federal stimulus check to arrive in April to pay her rent when he suddenly inquired if she would stay all night with him.
Come to the light, Daniel.
What?
I heard somebody's a burlesque performer.
Yeah, that's where we stopped.
That's where you stopped? Oh, that's the whole story, really. She basically has no money. She was waiting for the federal stimulus to come. She told her landlord, and the landlord said, hey, come over here and sleep with me.
So basically he said, give me your stimulus.
So BuzzFeed is not happy about this.
He said, I have a stimulus package for you.
Exactly.
The article continues, landlords have always harassed some tenants for sex, usually women in vulnerable low-income communities, such as undocumented immigrants or trans women.
What?
Really? Really? I'm gonna have to take issue with that claim.
Sandra Park, senior attorney at ACLU's Women's Rights Project, told BuzzFeed, this issue has always targeted low-income women, particularly, but the pandemic and widespread loss of jobs, I do wonder whether we will see more persuasive sexual harassment in housing than we have seen previously, because it may well end up targeting women from different economic classes. So based off of this one known event, we've decided that this has become an epidemic.
It's an epidemic.
You, Justin.
It's like the coronavirus. It's spreading.
Silently. You don't know.
It's happening everywhere.
It's transferred through your hat.
Wait, I have a question.
I guess no one should have to pay rent until we can be sure that not one person will be harassed by their landlord.
I wish I was harassed by my landlord. My landlord won't respond to me. Like, I know you guys were like, ignore the marijuana smells, but when it's four times a day now, like, our landlords were like, oh, wait, there's a virus? Peace. We're going to lock everything and disappear. Like, what? But anyway, I have a question about the way that was written. Did that park lady say, and I don't mean she works in parks, I mean her last name is Park, did she say more pervasive or more persuasive sexual harassment?
I think she said more persuasive. I've closed the article as I'm trying to close every single window that might be loading something.
She meant more pervasive, though. She meant, like, I hope this doesn't become more pervasive. And she said persuasive?
No, I think she meant, she definitely said more persuasive sexual harassment. Well, I think what she's meaning is landlords often offer, and then people don't take them up on it, but she's thinking it might be more persuasive because now people have lost their jobs.
But isn't persuasive sexual harassment called seduction? No? Silence?
I didn't hear anything you said, so.
Daniel, I said, isn't persuasive sexual harassment just called seduction?
Oh. maybe. I mean, I get her point in that she should not have used the word persuasive. That was
right.
Terrible.
That's why I thought she meant pervasive.
But I think all she means is simply that more people will take the landlord up on their offer. I don't think that means like more people are going to be like, ooh, landlord is super sexy.
So. Okay, but here's the thing, right? Here's the thing about this. I'm certainly not advocating for what the landlord's doing, right? There's a level of sleaze here. There's a level of lack of self-esteem on his part, right? This is the way he has to get sex. He has to be like, ooh, I have a monetary incentive for you to have sex with me. It's akin to prostitution, which I don't think on an individual level is healthy. But then again, there could be situations, right? I don't want to discuss every situation about prostitution right now. But there is the case of consenting adults. What's wrong if two consenting adults say, okay, you don't have to pay rent this month if you sleep with me, and the other consenting adult, and I'm not even putting a gender on this, right? It could be man, female, three-spirited, two-spirited, hoof-spirited.
There's a Twitch ambassador that claims to be a deer.
Okay, so, a deer, sexual, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that is.
I don't know what that
is
even called.
Yeah. Whatever you identify as, two consenting adults. I don't know, it could be even three. It could say, if we have a foursome, you don't have to pay rent. And then you get your friends
to do
it,
too.
Wait,
you can have a foursome with three people?
If you're two-spirited.
My point being, isn't there something to be said about consenting adults? Why should anyone be getting upset about this? Yeah, maybe the guy's sleazy and it's like, hey,
well,
this guy's a dick that he offered
them. I think it's just the opposite, Justin. There's nothing to be said about two consenting adults, which is, who cares?
Well, that's my point.
But my power relationship, that's the, you got to put this Marxist spin on sexual relations. So there's a power discrepancy because you owe the person money.
Yeah, yes, and as long as the guy doesn't, like, say, I'm going to evict you if you don't have sex with me. If he just says, hey, I know you can't pay this month, so sleep with me and I'll forgive your debt. That doesn't make him any less horrible. I think what Justin is saying is there's no legal ramification here.
Right. I'm not saying I don't think there should be legal ramifications. I think it should be, oh, guy, this is a sleazebag. I'm not going to live here anymore because I don't want to give him any more of my money. And then the market will bear that out. That's
and
what
also
I
convince
think.
Other people not to stay there anymore.
Right. And that's called persuasive non-sexual harassment. Yeah, that's what I just why is this the hill you want to die on, BuzzFeed News? Like, I really don't understand it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they're just doing what we advocated, which is pointing out that he's a sleazebag and people shouldn't live there anymore. I don't know. Mostly because I couldn't stomach reading the whole article. So maybe they do have some sort of legislative proposal at the end, which is totally possible.
Next story.
Okay.
Unless William has anything to say.
Nah. Straight people and their sexual harassment.
Yeah, this is called the first of the month in the gay community, right?
That's
yeah.
what I was going to say. Wow, you went more extreme than the joke I was going to make. I was just going to say, yeah, when a gay guy can't pay rent, he's already over there offering.
mine was more, whatever. We're both terrible humans. Okay, speaking of terrible humans, Trump. But what does Trump's refusal to wear a mask say about masculinity in America? Vox wants to know.
Trump, the paragon of masculinity. Not the Rock.
Masculinity, you say?
Whoa! It's right in the word. When reporter Brianna Frank showed up to a Honeywell plant last week in Arizona to cover President Donald Trump's visit, she was sure to wear a mask. Masks were the reason the president was there. The former aerospace plant in Phoenix has pivoted to producing them in recent months, and a nationwide shortage of personal protective equipment, or PPE, has caused them to do so. But the dozen or so people who gathered outside the facility to cheer on the president were not there to support masks. They had their faces uncovered. And as she approached members of the crowd to interview them, the conversation quickly got heated. They started to yell at me and the other journalists there. They were trying to incite fear and panic and paranoia by wearing masks, said Frank, who works for the Arizona Republic. One man in particular seemed to take issue with the male journalists wearing masks, she recalled. Quote, it's submission. It's muzzling yourself. It looks weak, especially for men. Here's where I stopped reading the story, because that is the most bullshit quote I've ever heard. No one ever said that.
Yeah, how, like, no one ever said you're in the middle of a, crowded, you know, rally, and that, you heard that from one person in a crowd. That doesn't make any
sense. With that sort of poeticism.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, didn't happen. So, also, for Vox to consider themselves journalists is laughable. Okay, but we'll go on for the sake of the show. Frank said, I felt that it was a statement that people should know about. Masks clearly symbolize something beyond I am trying to protect my health. They're not alone. Trump himself declined to wear a mask while being photographed at the plant, though he claims he wore one backstage. Vice President Pence was criticized for failing to wear a mask during a tour of the Mayo Clinic in April. And when armed protesters showed up at the Michigan State House on April 30th to protest stay-at-home orders amid the coronavirus panic, many were mask-free. One shouting, barefaced man who was photographed at the rally later said he was not at all worried about the virus and would never wear a mask, quote, ever. So there's a lot to dig into this article, Justin, but let's start with this. Is this the greatest gaslighting projection article from Vox you've ever read, in the sense that they want to know what masks symbolize beyond protecting your health, and they're saying it has to do with masculinity and not with virtue signaling nonsense, petty tyranny something?
Yes and no. I mean, it's definitely gaslighting in the sense that, like you said, they're pivoting and they're trying to distract from the fact of what it all actually symbolizes, which is compliance, which is giving in, which is being ruled over, which is being a beta. And I intentionally pushed it to that because they know there's an implication here. The implication is that if you're wearing a mask, you're compliant. If you're not wearing a mask, you're not indoctrinated. You're not willing to buy into all the bullshit. You know, it's like I've said before in this show that I truly believe the masks are like TSA theater, security theater at the airport. I'm only getting a mask so I can go in Disney and Universal when they open. That's the only reason I'm getting a mask. Otherwise, I wouldn't be allowed on Disney properties. And if that's the rule Disney has to make in order to open, and I have to do that in order to go there, it fucking sucks. But it's what I have to do. But I don't wear a mask in my daily life. I walk around without a mask. I went into Pizza Press yesterday without a mask. I go into Walmart without a mask. I don't need one. I don't believe I need one. I don't believe it's gonna do anything for me, especially when I'm walking outside. I love when there are people walking outside with masks on. But the gaslighting, I think, really goes into play here with their association of, and this is where it's interesting, where there's like a really implicit gaslighting based on gender lines. And it's their association of being a free-willed individual, a critical thinker, an independent thinker, is associated with masculinity. Now, I don't know if we want to go into like a gender discussion here about that, although the story kind of warrants it, but for me, it's not the wearing of the mask that makes me feel less masculine or not. If I have a mask on, I just feel like I have to do it, whatever, it's my choice. The only time I ever felt emasculated over the mask thing was I walked into a Chipotle and some woman walked over to me who worked there and was like, you can't be in here if you don't have a mask. And I had to walk out. And the idea of the way she like scolded me for not wearing a mask and like pushed me out of the store made me feel emasculated because it was like power was taken away from me. And that's what I think Vox is saying here, is the idea of this is all a power thing and that's only something that men are concerned about. Which I just don't believe that that's the sense in which this is gendered. I mean, women can have their power taken away by this as well. I mean, that's so interesting to me. It's so interesting to me that the last story we just talked about is, oh, wow, look at this power dynamic where the landlord is using his power over the woman to make her do sexual favors or potentially do sexual favors to not pay the rent. How the fuck is that any different from the government telling a woman she has to wear a mask? Is that exactly the same thing?
Right. The government is always has your best interest at heart, Justin, because at least 51% of people have voted for these people. Therefore, they are immune from immoral decisions.
I think we should put the government on lockdown because they have an untraceable contagion that makes them think that they're infallible. That's what I think.
Nice.
All right, that's what I have to say to all that.
William, I think what I was the very simple point I was trying to make earlier, which I turned into a very convoluted leading question, was...
yeah, but I had a good response.
They are right where it says, masks clearly symbolize something beyond, I'm trying to protect my health. I just find it ironic that for the left, the mask is the ultimate virtue signal, and now they are bashing people who won't wear them for not virtue signaling.
Yeah, I think this is the new conforming thing, right? Like what Justin was saying, this is your conformist uniform, right? You know, remember, was it a year ago, 2 years ago, where we talked about the hipster uniform and how everyone has to look different in the same way?
And yeah, because of that guy who sued the magazine. Thought it was him, but it was just a hipster. Him. Yeah.
But it was just stock photo of a hipster. I think that's what's happening here, right? Like this is how you're supposed to signal you're with the in crowd. You're with the power crowd, right? Like they claim they're not the power crowd, right? Like they claim that, but you're conforming. You're part of the virtuous, and yeah, the mask is part of that. So is the outrage over the yoga stuff that we talked about in the before the news segment. You know, being outraged and displaying your outrage and wearing your mask and talking about how you're staying inside, that's all good, right? But we know that's not what people are doing, right? Even those virtuous people, right? Quote unquote virtuous.
Yeah. And there's another element here, Justin, that I don't think should go unmentioned, which is that this can jump off just simply from the sub headline in this article, which is the CDC recommends masks. Not everyone is listening. Okay, the CDC when? Because the CDC earlier this year recommended not wearing masks. In fact, any number of groups, scientists, epidemiologists have said that masks may make it more likely that you catch the coronavirus, especially if you're not using an N95 mask. If you're wearing just a regular cloth mask or a paper mask, it literally does jack shit for you. Or anyone else. So not only are we supposed to listen to authority, Justin, we're supposed to jump at listening to authority the moment they change their mind, no matter when it is, and just say, yes, sir, may I have another?
Right, which isn't even what the word recommends means. I mean, isn't America founded on the idea that we can have these institutions, both private and public, that recommend things and we don't do them because that's what we freely choose and we freely decide. And then when you have the consequences, then you have the consequences. Now, of course, the argument they make in this, in response to this is I've been seeing this. They say, oh, well, then if you catch COVID, you need to sign this release that you are not going to use any of the health infrastructure to treat yourself and get treatment if you catch COVID. And it's like, no, it's private. This is why we don't want to socialize medicine. This is why we don't want to make medicine public. So you people can't make this decision about who gets treatment and who doesn't. By and that the way, goes to the gaslighting you're saying.
How horrific is that thought? Also, you know, no matter what you think of people and their decisions, do we not treat drunk drivers? Do we not treat, you know, potential or people who tried to assassinate the president who were injured? You know, we treat anyone in the medical system or the private system will, because that's how it works. So that's all horrible nonsense.
Right. And you know me, Daniel, I'm straight edge, so I abhor drunk drivers, but I say treat them. And then when they wake up, go, what the fuck's your problem, dude? And
the they wake up, just slap them.
Yeah, exactly. That's for driving drunk. And then slap them twice if somebody died. No, and that's the whole absurd thing, right? So if you don't wear a mask, you shouldn't get treated. But if I wear this shitty cloth mask that doesn't do anything but tell you that I'm a fan of the San Francisco 49ers, then I should get treated, even though the mask doesn't do anything. Like, that's why I'm saying this is all theater, and this is what you're saying. It's all performative. It's all virtue signaling. Because have you tried to wear one of those N95 masks? I have one. It is terrible to breathe in. It is not an enjoyable experience. It feels like if you've ever been at the end of a workout and you're having a hard time breathing and you have to like breathe extra hard, that's what it feels like to be in an N95 mask.
No, I haven't even tried one. I don't like wearing the stupid little paper masks that you would wear for like construction purposes, which is what we have. I take them off the moment I can. It's a terrible experience overall.
Yeah, and another thing about the mask, Daniel, that goes to your point about the vitamin D, which is, you know, if you stay inside, you're actually making yourself more susceptible. If we make it so, and this is an Adam Carolla point about the bathing and everything, if we make it so we're all wearing masks all the time, we're going to make it so we have to be wearing masks all the time because our immune systems are going to get weakened because they're used to us having this artificial filter in front of it.
Yeah, there's unintended consequences in everything. I don't know what they will be for this, but there will be something. And obviously the intended consequences of this are that we lose our individual liberties. But it wasn't always this way. What I mean by this is there was an interesting article in the New York Post based off of something else that was written by Jeffrey Tucker, I think, for those of you who know him. And the article was called "Why American Life Went On As Normal During the Killer Pandemic of 1969. So usually coronavirus gets compared to the Spanish flu, which I think was 1918 or 1919, and you know how different our responses were. But this is very, I've never heard of this until this article, and I had to go look up some facts to make sure that it was true. But so basically this article begins with interviewing someone who went to Woodstock in August of 1969. She was 17, talking about them and 300,000 other people who went to Woodstock and were all in these, you know, crazy mosh pits and mud, whatever. And I don't think they were called mosh pits back then. Sorry, folks, for being anachronistic. But and then the conclusion of that section says, and all of this happened during a global pandemic in which over 1 million people died. Something I'd never, literally had never heard before this article. So it gives the background, H3N2, or as it was known at the time, the Hong Kong flu.
Racist.
Not making this up.
I love that they kept saying that in the article, kept writing it.
Yeah, was an influenza strain that the New York Times described as, quote, one of the worst in the nation's history. The first case of H3N3 hit in mid-July 1968 in Hong Kong. By September, it had infected Marines returning to the States from Vietnam. By mid-December, the Hong Kong flu had arrived in all 50 states. And here's the thing. Schools were not shut down nationwide, other than a few dozen because of too many sick teachers. Face masks weren't required or even common. Though Woodstock was not held during the peak months of the pandemic, the festival went ahead when the virus was still active and had no known cure. Life continued as normal, said Jeffrey Tucker, the editorial director of the American Institute for Economic Research. But as with now, no one knew for certain how deadly the pandemic would turn out to be. Regardless, people went on with their lives. Which, he said, isn't all that surprising. That generation approached viruses with calm, rationality, and intelligence, he said. We left disease mitigation to medical professionals, individuals, and families, rather than politics, politicians, and governments. I think that's the primary thing we want to discuss in this article. It has, for anyone who's interested, it has a bunch of data about the deadliness of the Hong Kong flu and things like that. But in particular, I think there was one quote. Where is it now? I forget. We'll get into it. Justin, my question for you is, what changed?
That's the entire question. Do you want me to give a thesis on the development of American culture since the 1960s? What changed?
If you could please keep it to under 2 minutes, that would be great.
What the hell? I don't know if I could keep that to under 2 minutes. I mean, it's a... the left took over the school system and took over the media and has convinced us to be afraid of everything and that government is the answer to everything. Basically, we're more afraid. We are more afraid of everything. That's what it is. I would say it's what we talked about last episode. If I had to essentialize it, it's what we talked about last episode, where we have a fear of losing rather than a desire to win. And they've twisted the American spirit to be that way. And actually, I read an interesting article sent to me by Midsider Katrina, which talked about, and here we go down this rabbit hole of the last however many fucking years. What has it been, 60 years since the 1960s? Jesus. In the Cold War. The Cold War was always like about, oh, well, capitalism is better than communism. But it was always on materialistic grounds. It was always, oh, well, capitalism creates a better outcome for more people, therefore it's better. The argument of individualism being morally superior isn't made. And that is the biggest problem that has led us to all of these measures, and which has led us to fear. Because it's no longer about self-responsibility and wanting to create the best life for yourself. It's about what's better is someone taking care of all of us and telling us what's best. And we have to be afraid because we don't know how to handle the world. That's the implication. Yeah. Of not making the moral individual argument. That's the argument that needs to be made and isn't being made anymore.
Yeah, there were a couple quotes I liked in the article. The first one was, it says here, Tucker remembers being taught as a child of the 60s that getting viruses ultimately strengthened one's immune systems. One of my most vivid memories is of chickenpox parties. The idea was that you should get it and get it over with when you are young. Who has chickenpox anymore?
Well, they have a vaccine for that now.
Well, that's what I mean. Like no one gets it anymore, right? Like you don't have chickenpox parties anymore. That would be seen as abuse today, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the other one was that part I hinted at earlier in the show. Two government doctors, not even epidemiologists, were the ones who came up with the idea of using government-enforced social distancing and hope to try it out at the next virus. We are, in effect, Tucker said, part of a grand social experiment. And that's exactly the world we're living in right now.
Yeah. And Tucker's point is that to call back to William's point from earlier, that one of the scientists, Robert Glass, who published these suggestions in 2006, got the idea from his 14-year-old daughter's science project.
Yeah, awesome. Dr. Drew brought that up, and he was reamed for that when he brought that up. But it was the idea. It was basically social engineering, which you could see how a 14-year-old would be naive enough to think social engineering is possible. But her experiment was essentially, oh, we can trace who someone's been in contact with and where they've been, so then we can know where the disease has been spread.
Yeah. And I think, Justin, your point about individualism is probably the exact right thing to hit on here. And while the 60s, especially the late 60s, had a very hedonistic, nihilistic strain of individualism, it was still very individual focused. And so we are not in that era anymore. The individual is a nothing now. The individual is not important in the era in which we live. And so this herd mentality, which doesn't want, ironically, herd immunity, takes over and says, essentially, if you do these things, if you take this radical individual step, you're evil. And I think that's the primary difference that you illuminated.
Yeah, and that goes to the gaslighting you were talking about with the mask, Daniel. And there's actually a quote in here that was very much that gaslighting, where it says, in 2020, we feel that being denied music festivals and restaurants is an egregious attack on our liberty. A big part of our freakout over COVID-19 is a reaction to everything in the country that we've taken for granted. When it's taken away, we lose our minds. That's gaslighting, because that's not what people are upset about. Nobody's like, oh, man, they shut down Coachella. I mean, maybe the fucking, like, Instagram girls in California are mad, right? Because they don't have content for about 6 months. So maybe they're mad. But that's, most of us aren't mad about, like, Stagecoach and Coachella or any of these other festivals being shut down. I mean, we already lost Warped Tour, William. And if that didn't happen this year, we wouldn't have been freaking out over it.
Yeah, that's
people true. People are upset because they're losing their jobs. How, what's the unemployment right now? 15%? 30%? What's it at, Daniel?
No, I think that's, it's so elitist of the writers, right? To think like, well, why can't these people just stay home and order Grubhub? What's wrong with them? Like, why can't they just dip into their trust funds and eat caviar delivered by some poor person? Why can't they do that? What's wrong with them? Why are they savages having to go outside?
Well, and Justin, this is why my concert, Chainfest, is canceled and delayed. So,
That's true. Chainfest had a lot of good bands on there. Even Cartel was playing, and they delayed that by a year.
I know.
I saw that after
it.
I moved. Yeah. No, Chainfest and Sad Summer, the Warped Tour, they're trying to make that the Warped Tour replacement. That's canceled. That's the first time you've heard either of us mention any of this. That's not what we're mad about. This is, Dana, what you're saying, the trust funds, everything. This is why I get mad about like shit like white privilege. Okay, I get so mad when people are like, oh, white privilege, blah, 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 blah. Yeah? How about you look at the history of my family? How about you look at the history of Daniel's family? William, I don't know what your family history is like.
Cotton pickers. Look at... Literal cotton pickers. That's why lecturing me about my white privilege.
Well, you fucking go. Maybe it's because you had the privilege of picking the white off of the vines.
Off the green?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, off the green. But that's my entire point. Like... Look, I'm fortunate right now that I have a job that I haven't lost and I'm still getting paid. But if I didn't, I don't have that much money that I could survive. And my parents wouldn't be able to support me indefinitely without destroying their retirement and ability to survive once my mom stops working. And my dad's retired now, so he needs that money to support himself. It's not like we're middle class. And this is killing the middle class. You know, the lower class, they're already fucked. This is the longer this goes, it's killing the middle class. Because I don't have a year's worth of savings. I don't have a decade worth of savings. And you're going to sit here and talk about white privilege and you're going to act like things like, music festivals. The only reason I talk about Disney and Universal and going there is because I think it's funny. I think it's funny that people would get mad about that. So, you know, I'm going to fucking do it to troll you all. Because I think it's funny you people get mad about the beach. Because there is even a valid psychological reason to have these things.
Yeah.
So it really...
Oh, the left.
It really gets me going. And to see... The thing about all of this, Daniel, is to see all this coalesces. All of the issues we've talked about over the last however many years on this podcast, right? This is the 8th season, and that doesn't include the lost season. So 8 years on this podcast, all of these issues are coalescing right now into people's takes on this, aren't they? This is literally an example. If you've followed this podcast and you've listened to us, or if you've been friends with us, I'm sure, and learned from us, listened to us, truly listened to us, you see how ideas have consequences. And culture is downstream from philosophy. Isn't this the perfect example of it?
Yeah, it's unequivocally the perfect example of it. Stuff that we saw as fringe nonsense 8 years ago, or were pointing out the dangers of it, even though it was sort of not taken seriously, it's here. It's the mainstream. The wokeness is upon us.
Right, and all the other people who saw it as fringe last year or the year before, or, oh, Me Too doesn't affect me, white privilege doesn't affect me. It's affecting you right now, where they make you wear a fucking mask when you go outside, where they tell you you need to stay home.
Yeah. Good times, everyone.
Wow, that, I didn't expect to get that worked up. But to be honest, I watched an episode of Survivor where an older season that I hadn't seen because I stopped watching because it went social justice. And they started talking about, like, so this kid made a joke because they wear these buffs. And this kid made a joke to a black guy. He was like, oh, are you going to use your do-rag to wipe that up? And the black guy, like, went off on him. And then it turned into the black guy lecturing him about white privilege. And I was just like, you don't know his history. You don't know his family's history. And you're telling him he has privileges. And the kid's like, I'm glad he talked to me because now I know I have privileges. And that's just all the gaslighting, Daniel, you talk about. So it just all came together in my mind. And it made me realize how connected it all is. That they want you to
be. I'm glad we could be here for your therapy session.
Well, no, my point is, and this is, I think, related to what you were saying about the mass story and this story, is they want you to feel guilty and feel bad, because then once you feel guilty and feel bad, they can convince you you're wrong and then make you agree to these measures and make you more pliable. Am I wrong, William, with that reading of the situation? Is that's how they approach it? Make you feel guilty and make you feel bad, so then you become more pliable. Am I wrong about that?
That's exactly the religious motivation. That's why we keep coming back to that theme season after season on the show, is that this is so transparent to people who've been involved in organized religion. This is a... You know, this guilt, you know, all comes back to the call for altruism, right? And feeling guilty is a great manipulator for the masses. And making people feel guilty lets you manipulate them into the behavior you want them, and keeps people in power that want power for power's sake.
All right. I think that's a good way to sum up the episode. Well said, William. What did we learn this trip? You can go first, William.
Well, I learned one thing.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
There's the guy with the drops. Daniel?
I learned that Verizon should be taken out to the woodshed, if you know what I mean. Sorry about the internet this week, everyone. I'll try to have it fixed for next week as I call and yell at people. Justin, what did you learn this week?
I learned that apparently my choice of a Rorschach mask from the beginning was better than I even realized. And I can't wait to see when I'm wearing it at Disney if anyone responds to it or understands.
Well, we hope that you had a cathartic moment this week and that you take a deep breath and... let it all out and go on to enjoy your life and your values and be the individuals that we are meant to be, and not collectivist pawns that our wannabe overlords would prefer we be. So
put in the work to be the individual you deserve to be. That's what it's about, putting in that work.
That's right. So if you want some more spiritual fuel, you can go to themidside.com/podcast and listen to how many years of past episodes, Justin? That's crazy. I think you're lying. But you can go check on the website. You can also
go to... We're old,
man.
I don't know if you know. You're married and have a kid now.
What? Since when? You can also go to Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and subscribe and get these podcasts delivered to you the moment Justin hits publish on Midside Monday. Go to patreon.com/themidside. Give us a couple bucks every time we produce one of these things. Helps us keep the lights on. Thanks to Liberty.me for syndicating us, and tell a friend about the show, especially if you had a cathartic moment this week like Justin did and would like other people to share in that with you. Tell them about the show, and until next time, we love you.
This concludes your journey into the Midside. I'm Justin M. Lesneski, reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a valorant stay. Justin, I love how on the show notes, we're not supposed to ask you what you learned this trip.
Oh, am I not listed on there?
No, just me and Daniel.
Oh, that was just assumed. That was just because I have to say the order of people. So I just assumed Daniel knew to always ask me. I mean, I'm clearly the most important person here.
It's just completely implied.